O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Please be seated. And turn to Psalm 73. Today we're going to consider the case of faithful Fred and godly Geraldine and righteous Rodney. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. First, let's look at faithful Fred. He's a good husband and father. He works hard. He leads his family in Bible reading and prayer just about every day, and he takes them to church faithfully. Suddenly, the transmission in his car needs replacing 2 days after it's out of warranty, of course, for $3,200, which he doesn't have. The same week, his house air conditioning system gives up the ghost in the middle of the hottest week of the summer when the nearest repairman is a week off. Another $4,500. And then, worst of all, his teenage son has a wreck with his wife's car and is killed. As Fred's trying to figure out how to pay for the funeral, he sees his neighbor, Jake, from up the street cruise by in his brand new Mercedes. This is the mouthy neighbor who's living with his fourth wife. He has children with wives number 1 and 3, but he rarely sees them, and he supports them as little as possible with the help of a sleazy divorce attorney. He wears $800 suits and a nice Rolex watch, and he enjoys taking his yacht out every weekend. The one time Fred tried to witness to his neighbor Jake, Jake laughed and told him that there's no God keeping watch over us. This life is all there is, and we don't have to worry about accountability after death. How does God know anything? There is no God. All this makes Fred wonder if it's all worthwhile. It seems so unfair. It's enough to make you question your faith. Fred says, I'm trying to do the right thing, and what do I have to show for it? My neighbor Jake has no time for God, and look how everything's always going his way. It's enough to make you want to give up. The book of Psalms shows the wide range of normal emotions in godly people. Sometimes the Psalms are triumphant and exalting God. Sometimes they are sorrowful and penitent. Sometimes they show human doubt and anguish or anger at wickedness going unpunished. You can find a psalm for almost any emotion that you have, and they're all blessed because they're all inspired of God, and they all have their place. And Fred's situation is summed up perfectly in Psalm 73, beginning in verse 2. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Next, let's turn to godly Geraldine. Since she was a little girl, she's been faithful in church attendance and Bible reading, and she tries to raise her children right. Her husband, who is a professing Christian, would regularly abuse and even hit her throughout their marriage. Eventually, he ran off with a girl young enough to be his daughter, deserting Geraldine and their 3 children, leaving them without support and with a large mortgage to pay to keep a roof over their heads. And of course, the house eventually gets foreclosed on, and they have to scramble to find rental housing in a crummy neighborhood cheap enough that they can afford to pay the rent with her limited part-time income. On top of all this, one of her young children has developed a severe blood disease that requires expensive treatment. Now, her cousin Jane is very well off, but she never helps her out. She's too busy partying and taking expensive vacations with her wealthy husband. She never darkens the door of a church except for weddings and funerals. Geraldine wonders to herself, God, are you really there? Are you really keeping score? Why did you let all this happen? God, it's not fair. Psalm 73 describes her situation too. Verse 6, therefore pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. They scoff and speak with malice. Now let's consider the case of righteous Rodney. He's single, though he would like to be married. He's always faithful in church. He always tries to do the right thing and tries to be helpful to others as much as possible. But he comes down with a serious cancer and can hardly go to work some days. Living alone, he has no one to help him and no living relatives in the same state. And as if that weren't bad enough, a bad electric circuit sets fire to his house one night while he's asleep, and he just barely gets out in time. He loses the house and everything in it. Meanwhile, his boss, Jack, just comes across one great real estate deal after another, and he owns several companies. He never gives Rodney a well-deserved raise, but Jack keeps urging Rodney to quit wasting his time at church and live for the day. And by the way, why don't you come work another 10 hours this Sunday? Rodney needs to consider Psalm 73 also. Verse 9, they set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. Verse 13, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. Rodney says, God, things go so easy for them. I try to live a holy life, and sometimes it seems like a waste of time. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. God, if I question you, I would be betraying the faith. I'm trying hard to understand God, but it seems so fruitless. God, it's not fair. Verse 16, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. When I got back to church and really thought about it, it all began to make sense. This life is not the end of it all. God is real, and the afterlife is more real than this life, because it lasts forever. God is on the throne, and God will prevail. Verse 18, truly you set the wicked in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How are they destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors? On the day of judgment, their mouths will be stopped, and God's servants will be rewarded. Verse 20, like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Lord, I've been behaving like a dumb animal. I failed to look at things in their true eternal perspective. In UGA football games, you often hear the band playing the Dies Irae theme, signifying that they are about to prospectively trounce the other side. Few people recognize the solemn origin of that music, however. It's from an ancient Latin hymn around 1270 AD. Dies Irae, Dies Ilia, Solvet Secum in Favilla, Teste David cum Sibylla. This ancient hymn aptly describes what the unregenerate will feel in the last day. Some of the verses roughly translate as follows. Oh, what fear man's bosom rendeth, when from heaven the judge descendeth, on whose sentence all dependeth. Wondrous sound the trumpet flingeth, through earth's sepulchres it ringeth, all before the throne it bringeth. Death is struck and nature quaking, all creation is awaking to its judge and answer making. Lo, the book exactly worded, wherein all hath been recorded, thence shall judgment be awarded. When the judge his seat attaineth, and each hidden deed arraigneth, nothing unavenged remaineth. Yes, one day the atheist's worst nightmare will come true, and the Christian's blessed hope will be rewarded. The realities of eternal life will swallow up the temporary problems of this life. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. Much modern churchianity fails to recognize that the Christian life includes promises that God will be with you, not that he promises to make every day rosy and full of rainbow unicorns and earthly pleasures. Remember, Jesus said, in the world you shall have much pleasure. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. James 1:3 reminds us that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. God builds our character through difficulties and helps us to overcome the world as part of the normal Christian life. Psalm 119:67 tells us that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Verse 69, the insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. God knows all your problems and all your fears and all your doubts. They're part of the normal Christian life. You're not unusual. To never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can you take God at his word? Verse 75 proclaims, I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. God sends us trials and temptations and problems for our own spiritual good. Hebrews 12:11 gives us the normal response to this. He says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them who have been trained by it. The apostles in Acts chapter 14 were found in verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When you consider all these things, the rest of Psalm 73 makes a lot of sense. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward, you will receive me to glory. Is that true? Is it a fairy tale, or is the Bible true? God says, I'll guide you here and now if you'll listen to me. And then afterward, I'll bring you home to heaven with me. In Isaiah 25:8, it is predicted, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Some 800 years later, God repeats this promise in Revelation 21:4, the next to last chapter in the Bible. Some people, when they get a book, they read the end first to see how it all turns out. And Revelation 21:4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Do you make God and his righteousness your heart's desire? Verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I might tell of all your works. Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to his people, to those who are pure in heart. Way back during the Exodus, Moses and the Israelites sang, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. May the Lord add his blessing to the teaching of his word. Amen.